Tonight I draw your attention to what has been called the morning psalm, Psalm 3. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. He's an old man when he pens this psalm, a psalm of David, when he fled from Absalom, his son, it's called. Though written late in life, and psalms were written when he was much younger, yet this is the one that is placed at the start of the Psalter. And that's significant. Significant why it's here at the start, why it's the third psalm. Why is it put here right at the start? Why do we meet it early and not later? And while I'm not going to go through the text, I do want to highlight two short texts, particularly within the psalm. The opening words, first of all, verse 1, Lord, how are they increased? David is surrounded by multitudes of enemies. How many they are, Lord, how greatly numbered they are, how they're multiplying, that are rising up against him, that are taunting him, that are persecuting him. It's a psalm of conflict. A psalm of trouble. It's a psalm that was written at the lowest point in David's life. I don't think it could have been any lower for him than this time of the rebellion and opposition of his own son Absalom. It was a low time. Many trouble me. And then the other text that I would highlight is the verse in the center. Verse 5, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. Now these central words tell us that in the midst of this danger, a dangerous night when the foes are multiplying, about to surround him, but he lays down this night and he sleeps and he awakes, confident, full of trust, confidence of victory, not afraid of the 10,000s. Arise, O Lord, save me. Thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. He's confident of deliverance. He's confident of victory. The Lord has brought him through the low point. And that night he slept. In the morning he awaked. Confidence of deliverance. So the change comes about in verse 5. It's a hinge point in the psalm. The Lord brought him through. Now, I'll say more about this lying down and sleeping and awaking. But I think it makes us think about Christ. Christ is in the psalm. I think especially of the time when he was in the boat, in the storm, the boat full of water, the disciples panicking. We perish, and the Lord is asleep. I laid me down and slept through the storm, in the depths, in the turbulent wind and sea. When all his people were afraid, he laid him down and slept and awaked and stilled the storm. So it reminds us of that. It reminds us of the Lord at the cross. Whenever he is surrounded by all his foes, they're increased, they're multiplied against me. I laid me down and slept. Speaking of his death, the death in the midst of the multitudes that surround him, I awaked. The resurrection. The Father brought him through. The Lord sustained me. We can write over this psalm of innumerable enemies. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? No matter who they are, no matter how many they are, if God is for us, who can be against us? It's a psalm of victory. It's also a psalm of lament, of course. It starts off that way, but it finishes on a note of victory. Surrounded by enemies, he's also surrounded by the Lord, by God. Now, as I say, what particularly interests me about this psalm is its place in the Psalter. It comes here at the start. It's the third psalm. Now, one thing I have about the psalms, I have great confidence that they have been arranged in the order that we find them in the Psalter. The apostles referred to the second psalm. They recognize the number of the psalms. They recognize their place in the canon and the place of each psalm in the Psalter. The Psalter has been carefully arranged. And that's been done, I believe, by God for the use of the church. So we have the ordering of the psalms in the Psalter. And that's a very interesting study, a very interesting subject in itself. But here at the start, the third psalm, the one that we consider tonight. Why is it here at the start? Why is it the third psalm? I think there are a number of answers to that question. Now, the first of all is we have to consider it in relation to Psalm 1 and 2. Psalm 1 and 2 are different. They're the entrance into the Psalter. They're general psalms. They don't have titles. They don't mention David by name. You can't pinpoint them to an historical place and location. They're introductory. They give you general principles that you need to note as you go into the Psalter. This third psalm stands in relation to those opening psalms, Psalm 1 and Psalm 2. It's no accident that Psalm 3 is placed after them. This psalm is connected, for a start, with the end of Psalm 2. Now, what does Psalm 2 say at the end? Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. You remember how Psalm 1 starts? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Psalm 1 and Psalm 2, if we consider them together, begin with a blessing and end with a blessing. The blessed man and the blessed people. Now, how do you know the blessed people? Psalm 3 tells us who the blessed people are. They're the people who are in the warfare. They're the people who are in the conflict. They are the people who are trusting in God. Blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Who is that man? Well, here he is in Psalm 3. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. This is the man trusting in the Lord. This is the man that is experiencing the blessing at the end of Psalm 2. So Psalm 3 is instantly connected with the end of Psalm 2. It's been put in there to let us see the blessed people who trust in the Lord. Even in all the great opposition, in all the conflicts that they face, in all the difficulties that they go through, they still trust God. So this psalm is pointing that out. So Psalm 3 is right at the porch with Psalm 1 and 2. Now in Psalm 1 and Psalm 2, Christ stands out. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now who is that man? Now that's not you and me. There were times whenever we did sit with the ungodly. There are times whenever we weren't walking in the law of the Lord. Who amongst us can say we delight in the law of the Lord day and night? Who amongst us can say that we are like trees planted by the rivers of water that never fade, that never droop, that never, as it were, deaden. There's none of God's people, but that they need quickened and revived at times. There's none of God's people, but at times they have been in the wrong place, in the wrong company, doing the wrong thing. But in Psalm 1, there is a man who never did that, who never went astray, who never faded, who never needed revived, who never had to confess sins, who never walked in the counsel of the wicked, who never stood in the way of sinners, who never was with the scorners, and whose delight in the law of God, the Torah, never waned. And that man is Christ. Christ is the blessed man of Psalm 1. He's the Torah man. He's the man of the word. He's the man of the book. He's the man of the law. He is the righteous one. So we see him in Psalm 1, that man of blessedness and righteousness with the book. And that's Christ. But in Psalm 2, you see him on the throne. You see him spoken about in verse 6, "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." Psalm 2, verses 6 and 7. "Ask of me, and I'll give thee the heathen for your inheritance." And so, in Psalm 2, we have Christ the King. Christ the King on the holy hill of Zion. Do you see that there, verse 6? "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion." And what do we have there in verse 4 of Psalm 3? "I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill." Psalm 3 is connecting us with Psalm 2. It's connecting us with these previous Psalms. The blessed man, the reigning man, the anointed man, the Messiah, the Son of God. So the first Psalm is a Torah Psalm, telling us about the righteous man, Jesus Christ. The second Psalm is a royal Psalm, telling us about the reigning Christ, the Messiah, the anointed, our King, the Son of God, the King of righteousness. So these preface psalms introduce us to Christ. These two psalms are pointing us to the Lord Jesus. And every time you come into the Psalter, you come through the door of Psalm 1 and Psalm 2, you're always thinking of Christ. You're always looking for Christ. You're always looking for the blessed man. You're always looking for the anointed one, the royal one, the king. You go into the Psalms to see Christ. He sung the Psalms. He's our elder brother who had the Psalm book, who sung the Psalms. The Psalms had all their meaning for him. He sung them. We sing them with him. We sing them as he sung them. We see them as he saw himself in them. We see Christ in the Psalms. So all of these Psalms are pointing to him. Psalm 3 then introduces us to another aspect of that man. He's a suffering man. He is a man surrounded by enemies. He's a man who has the cross to bear. He's the man who has to lay down in death and sleep the sleep of death and has a resurrection out of it. It is Messiah, the suffering one. So he has the Bible in Psalm 1, he has the crown in Psalm 2, but in this our psalm tonight, he has the cross. And the blessed man became the anointed man on the throne, but not without the cross. And that's why Psalm 3 comes in here early. He is the taunted one. This was fulfilled at Calvary. "How are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. They say of me, there's no help for him in God." He saved others. He cannot save himself. If he's the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross and we believe him. He trusted in God that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him if he will have him. There's no help for him in God. That's what this psalm says. There's no help for him in God. This is Christ. There's more than David here. This is a lament psalm of our Savior. And that's why it's brought in here early, because we can never go through the Psalms without quickly coming to the cross, to Calvary, and to our crucified Messiah, the Lord's anointed who died for us. So Psalm 3 is near to the porch, this entrance to the Psalter, so that in the Psalms we will look for the suffering one. That's what these Psalms are all about. The suffering one. How he got to that holy hill of Zion to be the king. Through his sufferings. So it's related to Psalm 1 and Psalm 2. But it's also related to the next two Psalms. 4 and 5. They focus on morning and evening. They focus on the sleep motif. A lying down, a rising in the morning. That's the common motif in Psalm 3, Psalm 4, and Psalm 5. The text I pointed out, verse 5, I laid me down and slept. I awaked. The Lord has sustained me. He's brought me through the darkness. He's brought me through the night. It's the morning now. And then in Psalm 4, verse 8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. This is the evening psalm, but it's the same idea. I'm going to lay myself down in peace. I'm going to sleep. Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Lord, you keep me during the sleep hours. You keep me during the night. You bring me through the night into the morning. So you have that idea in Psalm 4 as well. And then in Psalm 5, we have another morning hymn. You see it there in verse 3. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. So you see that idea common to the three of them. The psalmist has brought them together, these morning evening psalms, these psalms identified with sleep and awakening the next day. So you see that Psalms 1 to 5 are placed strategically. And the reason is, they are daily psalms. They are the psalms that you are to keep perpetually in your mind. These are the daily psalms. Psalms 1 to 5. This is the entrance into the Psalter. Wherever you go after that, the Lord needs you. But you can't bypass Psalms 1 to 5. They are the ones to memorize. They are the ones to eat and to drink. They are the ones to pray over daily. They are the ones who allow your heart to be saturated with. So these first five psalms are very important. And Psalm 3 is in the middle. It's related to Psalm 1 and 2 because of Christ. It's related to Psalm 4 and 5 because of our warfare, our difficulties in life, and how we need the Lord every day and every morning. You can't go a day without God. You can't have a morning without the Lord. You can't put your head on the pillow at night without God. You need the Lord every day. And so that's why we have this Psalm 3 placed thus. And while it is connected to Psalm 1 and 2 and Psalms 4 and 5, it is distinct in itself. We might say it's the first proper prayer in the Psalter. Psalm 1 and 2 are teaching psalms. They're not really praying psalms. You don't really pray them as such. They're not petitions. They're just general. Nobody's named. There's not the historic situation there. Psalm 3 is different. It's the first psalm with a title. A psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. This is the first psalm that has its history pointed out. It's linking us with David. It's the first psalm that's called a psalm. A psalm of David. That's the first time you meet that word psalm in the Psalter. You'll not find it in Psalm 1, you'll not find it in Psalm 2. But in Psalm 3, you meet the title now, a psalm of David. This is the first proper psalm. The first prayer of David. And he prayed it when he was old. So it gives us the historical situation out of which it arose. Whenever he had to flee from Jerusalem during the rebellion of Absalom, his son. You will know that story. You'll have read 2 Samuel 15 through to 17, no doubt. Those are the chapters to read. It was a sad story. His son rose up against him. The enemies were following Absalom in great multitudes. The opposition was growing. Many in the royal council were betraying David and going with Absalom. The rebellion was strong, and David fled the city. And he was really a man of sorrows when he fled the city. And the Bible tells us the very route he took. He went out of Jerusalem. He went down by the Kidron Valley. He crossed the Kidron Brook. He ascended up into the Mount of Olives. He passed by Gethsemane. It's the same route the Savior took. When he went to Gethsemane, the night before the cross, the same path, the same route, the same man of sorrows, sackcloth and ashes and weeping, broken hearted, as he went. So it's a very sad time. David has just a little feeble band of followers who are going with him, and the opposition has all the numbers. Thousands and thousands, and it's growing. So that's the historical situation. But we ask, why does it come first? I mean, there are about 14 Psalms that have titles that tell about the history of David. There are some that are a lot earlier. Some of them were written during the time of Saul, when he was a lot younger, being pursued by Saul. Well, why don't they come first? Why this one near the end, in his old age, in his most mature days, in the evening of his life? Now, whoever arranged the Psalter knew this. They weren't following chronological order when they arranged the Psalms. They were thinking other ways. It's a practical arrangement for the believer. It's a very important arrangement for us in our Christian life and our Christian walk, in our warfare and our battle. If we ask why it come first, it's because it's a psalm for every morning. Every morning we are to remember there's a warfare, there's a battle. There are enemies. There is opposition. That's why it comes early. God doesn't want you to forget that. He wants you to remember every morning you're in a battle. Every morning there is a warfare. Every morning you will face opposition. Every morning there will be conflict. It goes on every day. This psalm has been recognized by the church as the morning psalm. It's one of those psalms that was sung daily in the church in ancient times. It's the first psalm to start the day. Now, there are three approaches to this psalm. Historically, David in a situation. Prophetically, Christ, the son of David, who took the same path in the days of his flesh, as he suffered on the cross for us, and died for us, and rose again for us. Or we can take it practically as the believer, the Christian, every day in the battle, every day in the warfare. It's the last truth that I want to focus on in the remainder of this message. Daily we have to say this psalm, because daily we have to remember Christ, the warrior king. The king who slid down and slept for us. The king who awaked for us. The king who died for us. We consider verse 5 as the words of Christ. I laid me down and slept. I awaked. For the Lord sustained me. These are the words of the king. The warrior king. The king in the battle. The king in the conflict. The king against all the opposition to him at Calvary. Not just the opposition of men, but the opposition of hell. The opposition of the devil. Calvary was a warfare. Calvary was a battle. We've seen that in Hebrews chapter 2. Through death, he destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil. It's a battle. It's a warfare. He's the captain of our salvation. He's in the conflict. And every morning we have to remind ourselves of this. Our warrior king has fought the battle and won it for us. He has destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil. He destroyed him through his own sleep, through his own death and his own resurrection. So this man is engaged in the battle. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Augustine said, this psalm is to be understood as in the person of Christ. For the words sound more applicable to the passion and resurrection of our Lord than to that history in which David's flight is described from the face of his rebellious son. And so this psalm comes early because we are not to forget about Calvary. We're not to forget about the suffering one. We need to be reminded of the Lamb who died for us. It is the psalm of Gethsemane, the psalm of the cross, the psalm in the tomb, I laid me down and slept. It's the resurrection psalm, I await. Sleep is like a death, isn't it? You sleep at night and you wreck your eyes in the morning. And every day that you do that, you have to think about Christ's death and resurrection. Not just the Lord's day, but every day. So we daily have to recall the death and resurrection of Christ. The victory of the warrior king at Calvary. I laid me down. Doesn't that sound familiar? Is there not an echo there? I laid down my life. No man takes it from me. I laid down. I laid me down and slept. It's a voluntary sleeping. He gives himself. In the midst of the battle, he lays himself down. No man takes my life from me. I lay it down. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life. I laid me down. That's a wonderful verb. And Jesus Christ takes it up in John's Gospel. I lay down my life. Every morning we have to think about the life that was laid down for us. Christ's life. Every morning. That's why it's here early. You can't miss it. You can't forget it. You need it every day. You need to keep near the cross every day. And it was this laying down and this sleeping and this awakening which brought salvation blessing. Verse 8. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. So it's brought the blessing, the salvation blessing. So I suggest that it's here early in Psalm 3, every morning to be prayed, so that every morning we think about the death and resurrection of our Lord. And that we who are in union with him will one day ourselves sleep. And we'll sleep in Jesus. And we'll awake and rise with him too in the day of the resurrection. So there has to be a daily consideration of Christ's warfare. Christ's warfare that he finished and completed. The Epistle to the Hebrews again. Looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's something that's done every day. Keep looking on to Jesus. Keep considering him that endured such contradiction of sinners. Lest you be weary, lest you faint in your mind, lest you think, what's this battle about? What's this warfare about? How can I go on? The apostle to the Hebrews says, you haven't yet resisted unto blood. You're complaining, you think it's hard. You haven't been martyred yet. You haven't been killed yet. Don't be fainting, don't be giving up. Consider him. Consider him that endured the contradiction of sinners. Consider him who was surrounded by the multitude. Consider him who was mocked. Consider him who was taunted and they said of him, there's no help for God in him. Consider him that endured the contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your own mind. The apostle to the Hebrews is just basically saying there, read Psalm 3 every day. Consider him. Consider him who went through the cross. Consider him who went through the Calvary. Consider him in the midst of the mockers dying for your sin. Consider him every day. Keep looking on to him. Lest you faint. So that's why it's here. Because every day we have to think about the suffering one who obtained for us the salvation of the Lord and the blessing of God. It also is here not only to remind us of Christ the warrior and his battle. It's here to remind us that we as Christians are in a battle too. Every morning we are to remind ourselves we're in the warfare. There's opposition, there's enemies. Every morning you pray, as a combatant. You pray as a soldier. If you're not a soldier, if you're not combating, how can you pray this? Lord, how are they increased in trouble? Many are there that rise up against me. You're my shield, Lord. You're the lifter up of my head. I'm crying unto you in your holy hill. I'm trusting in you, Lord. So every morning, we are reminded that not only did Christ have his cross, we are reminded that we have our cross too. If any man follow me, let him take up his cross and do so. You can't follow Christ without cross bearing. This is a constant motif in the Psalms. Conflict, battle, strife, warfare. I mean, you can't open the Psalter at any place without meeting that at every point. David has a lot of enemies. These are spiritual enemies. These are enemies of the soul. This is the opposition of hell. This is the opposition of the devil. And there are a multitude of devils and demons. There's a spiritual warfare. And the Psalter is a prayer book for the church in tribulation. That's what the Psalms are all about. And that's why Psalm 3 comes early here, just to make sure we know that. This is a prayer book for the soldier, for the combatant, for the believer in the warfare, for the believer who needs the Lord to be a shield. So it's an early morning prayer for this Christian soldier. If you're not battling, you might as well leave your Psalter closed, because you wouldn't understand it, and it'll do you no good. There's a warfare, and there are enemies of the soul. And the Bible tells us that all the time. We have to put on the whole armour of God, that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities of powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickednesses, devils and demons. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armour of God. And the most important part of that armour is the Psalter. This morning prayer teaches us this. There's a serpent who would beguile us. There's a serpent who would corrupt our minds. There are false apostles and deceitful workers and false prophets and men who transform themselves into angels of light, and yet they peddle lies. And we have to be on our guard, and we have to be shielded. We need the Lord to be our keeper. And this psalm is a sober reminder of that. There is the devil like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. And so lest the devil get advantage of us, Psalm 3 is a daily reminder. We need the Lord to keep us. Psalms 1 and 2 have already hinted at the enemy and the opposition. Doesn't the Psalm 1 tell us that there is the ungodly, the way of sinners, the scorners? And then in Psalm 2, the heathen reads, the people imagine a vain thing, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his Christ. There's all this opposition against God. All this opposition against the Messiah, against Christ. You, the believer, you're in the midst of the raging nations. You're in the midst of the liberal age. You're in the midst of the age that throws off the laws of God, who says marriage is no longer between a man and a woman, but between those of same sex, the laws that kill the unborn. You're in that age. You're in that time of opposition when even the kings of the earth are against the Christ and against the laws of God and are jettisoning God's holy standards. You're in that age. Where this liberality is, where this deceit is, where this lies and opposition of hell is, you are in the midst of that. And every morning you have to pray for the Lord to be your shield and to keep you. And this is a very personal psalm. Yes, we think of David. Yes, we think of Christ. It's very individual too for the believer. I cried unto the Lord. Thou art my shield, Lord, a shield for me. The lifter up of my head in the midst of all this opposition. How can I lift my head up? How can I go on? How do I get the strength? Lord, I need you. So it's very personal, very individual. Yes, as a church we battle together. As a church we face the opposition together. But our battles are different, aren't they? I'm in a different trench from you. I face perhaps different opponents that you face. And you face different opponents that I face. You know, we all face different things. And it has to be very individual. And every morning you have to say, Lord, be my shield. Be the lifter up of my head, Lord. I just need you, Lord, to lift my head up in the midst of all of this. How can I go through, Lord, without you? So, child of God, this psalm teaches you that you have to battle on. And don't be discouraged. And don't give up. Christ will get you through. You'll be able to say, I laid me down and slept. I awake. The Lord sustained me. The Lord brought me through. Continue day by day through the Christian life. And every morning you'll be able to say, the Lord sustained me. The Lord kept me. And one day, you'll lay your head down in the sleep of death. What's the worst thing that can befall us as saints? They can die. Isn't that it? They can kill us. They can take away our life. That's the worst thing that can befall us. That we lay down and sleep. That's the very worst. And even that won't be the end. Because when we lay down and sleep the sleep of death, even if it's the sleep of martyrdom, this will still be true. I awaked the resurrection morning. This verse will come to your mind then with such power. You'll see what it means then. I awaked. The Lord sustained me. The Lord brought me through. He brought me through the battle. He brought me through the warfare. He brought me out the other end. This verse will have its fullest meaning in the experience of the resurrection day. This verse will come with new life. I wait. And not be afraid of 10,000s anymore. That have set themselves around me. Where are they now? Lord, you've smitten all mine enemies on the cheekbone. You've smashed their jaws. You've broken their teeth. And as you come out of your tomb, you'll come out with these words on your lips. Salvation belongs to the Lord. He saved me by His grace. He brought me through by His grace. His blessing is upon His people. There's no doubt about it now. It's the resurrection morning. It's the morning of the awakening of the people of God from the tombs. There's no doubt about it now anymore. Salvation is the Lord's and His blessings with His people. So this is a psalm that you sing every morning, you pray every morning till you die. And when you die and are raised up in the resurrection day, it's the morning psalm of the new day. It's the psalm that will have its fullest significance fulfilled there. And so, then you'll enter into the fullness of the blessing. It's a wonderful psalm. And I think that's why it's placed here as number 3. The first prayer. Every day to remind ourselves. So may the Lord make these words through His Spirit somehow to be a blessing to you. A help to you, an encouragement to you. It may be a psalm that you frequently, if not every day, if not every morning, very often to turn to and to think about.